Hey man, he was just 25, they tell me, and drank himself to death and died when there was nothing else left for him to conquer. Died as an alcoholic, drank himself to death. But the whole world had been overtaken by Hellenistic culture, which is what we call the Greek language. Amen. So that's why the term the Greek refers to the other people of the world other than the Jews. Amen. Give me 1 minute to clear my throat here. We're going to ask the AV person and Brother Ron there to put the scriptures today for our lesson up on the screen, and we're going to try this today because we think this may be a something that the church might enjoy. We're going to ask you to read with us the scriptures today, and we can all read this together. Amen. So I'm somewhat at a disadvantage over here only because I can't see the screen from here. But let's see how this works out. Amen. So we're going to take a look in the Old Testament scripture, the book of the Proverbs, chapter number 1, verses 23 to 33. And then we're going to look at a New Testament passage from the Gospel of John, Big John, we would say. Around here, we call it Big John. Amen. And that's chapter 17 from what is known as the High Priestly Prayer. And I think more betterly stated, the Lord's Prayer, because this is the Lord praying to the Lord. Amen. God the Son in prayer to God the Father. 17 through 21. Amen. So when we get it on the screen there, let me know. We're going to start in Proverbs 1, verse 23. Okay. Amen. This is a word that got put in my spirit actually before the conference. And then when we went to the conference, so he's not able to get it up there? Okay. All right. It's just PowerPoint sitting, I should be sitting right there on the toolbar. Kind of red looking there. Okay. In either case, this was something that had been put in my spirit some time ago. And, then when I went to the conference, it was confirmed that this is a message that the church really needs. And so I wanted to take a minute today and set these verses before you. Amen. So we're going to go right ahead. In either case, I did print the material also, so you should have it in print in front of you as well. So let us go to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 1, verse 23. If you don't have a copy, you can open your Bible to Proverbs chapter 1, the very first chapter in the book of Proverbs. And we're going to read in verse 23 through 33. That's 10 verses of Proverbs. Let's read. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock at your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for they hated the knowledge of God, and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel, they despise all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. We have read Proverbs chapter 1, 23 to 33. And now in the New Testament from the Gospel of St. John chapter 17, starting at the 17th verse, let's read. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for this I sanctify myself, that they might also be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they may all be as one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. That's the word of the Lord. To the people of the Lord, you may be seated in the sanctuary. Amen. Got a little roughness in my voice here. But in either case, want to use for a subject today, fruition of the mission to heal the world's condition. Amen. And maybe I'm a poet and don't know it, but my feet show it because they're Longfellows. That's possible. Fruition of the mission to heal the world's condition. You can forget the other part of the poem. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Everlasting God, we bless you. We praise you. We exalt your name. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you that you have given us a heart to hear your word and a mind to understand. Father, we thank you that everyone in the sanctuary is just blessed, Father. You have blessed every home, every family that's represented here. And Father, we thank you for all that you have already done. We know we have a long way to go, oh God, but we know that you have promised that you will continue that good work that you started in us. You said through Paul that he who has began a good work in us shall continue to perform it even until the day of Jesus Christ. And so, Father, we thank you that for that word from the Philippian letter, Lord God, and all the other words that you promised that you will never leave us nor forsake us. And so, Lord God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for each and every home and family that's represented here, from the very smallest to the very eldest in the room, oh God, that there would be a blessing from this word. And we ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and it's in his righteous name that we pray, and the whole congregation say it together. Amen. Amen. Fruition of the mission to heal the world's condition. Now, I wasn't actually thinking of poetry at the time, but I thought maybe I will work on that a little later. Dr. Adams writes books. Perhaps I'll work on a poem along that line. The term fruition is a very important word. Fruition is the realization of a thing. Now, it could be like we could say a tree, for example, if it's an apple tree, when the fruit comes on it and you can pluck an apple off of it, that's the purpose of an apple tree. To give you fruit. And so you see that word fruit kind of in the word fruition. It's the outpouring of the final thing for which a situation comes to be. In other words, what is the purpose of a particular thing? So fruition is a noun. It describes a condition. It's the point at which a plan or project is realized, it says in one dictionary. The plans have come to fruition sooner than we expected. In other words, you had a plan and you looked around, you thought it would take X amount of time, and it has already come to pass. It's the plan, the thing in your mind that you set your heart on, when it comes to pass and you can see it, and it's no longer a plan, it's now a reality, that thing is coming to fruition. So that's what we do. We define that word fruition. Now I want to add to that the thought that when Jesus left, what he did was he put the church on a mission. He had trained 12. One of them had betrayed him. He got out of the grave, showed that I have all power and authority over death, hell, and the grave. Because you know what? Nobody else who died got out of the grave unless he called them out of the grave. You see, you got a lot of folks today professing that they have something that's spiritual or religious for you, but they can't get out the grave. So the only thing that sets apart the completion and the fact that we know that God's plan for the world was completed and his mission was a success is that when everything that happened to Jesus took place, the whole world was against him, not his own disciples. They were scared, too scared to stand with him at the time when he was going through his trial. And even God forsook him. We know on the cross, he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? But he was there on a mission that he had to complete. And he completed the mission successfully. They didn't find out. He told them about it ahead of time, but they didn't find out till 3 days later. But he had already told them that I'm going to be going in like Jonah, he said. That just as Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. And so Jonah was a type of Christ. But on that third day morning, when they went to check the tomb, and the tomb was empty, the stone was rolled away, that was the fruition of the mission that God had set in place. He had brought to pass defeat of death, which is the penalty for sin. And so think about that. That's a wonderful thing. So Jesus completed that single-handedly by himself. And so that was the first part. That was God's part of the mission. In Matthew 28:18, after Jesus had risen from the grave, he said to his disciples, go ye and teach all the nations. Baptize them in the Father, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Now that's what we call the great commission. God had finished his part of the mission of salvation, and now he committed the rest of it to us. And he says, it's not only to us, but I'm going with you. When you go in my name, I'm going with you. How long will that go on, Lord? How long can we trust you? To the end of the world. So you know what? The mission is still going on. We are operating in a mission that has already come to fruition, that God has completed. He has given the solution to sin, to death, to hell, to the grave. He has completed it all by himself. All power, Jesus said, is given to me in heaven and earth. And he says, therefore, because I completed my part, you go, that's all of you, my disciples, and teach. The duty of you is to go and teach what I did. And don't just stop right here in Jerusalem, but go from Jerusalem to Judea, to Samaria, to the uttermost part of the earth. The gospel is in America right now. This is kind of pretty far away from Jerusalem, isn't it? But Jerusalem is the starting point. It's also going to wind back up in the new Jerusalem before it's all done. And so right now we're in that space for the fruition of the mission. Now the purpose for the mission was to heal the world's condition. The world has a condition. The condition is known as sin. Everything and every part of everybody on the planet is cursed with the curse of sin and have fallen short of the glory of God. And so the mission is complete. There is relief for the condition. Jesus has proven it. He has already shown you that that without him you can do nothing, but with me you can do how many things? You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And so when you go out and stand to represent him and to let the world know that God's plan is done, it's complete. The fruit is there. What's that fruit? Jesus out of the grave. That's what we call the gospel. You know what? If I got any problems myself, and believe you me, I do. Maybe y'all don't have no problems. I see I can't get no amens in the house. Everything all good in your life. You got it all fixed up. Well, see, this is what we need to see, is that the solution for your problem has already come to fruition. It's complete. Whatever you have to endure in life, you can do it. Why? Because Jesus said, lo, I am with you. And I'm going to leave tomorrow. That's what he said. No, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. So as long as you can see the world, long as the world exists, he is with you if you trust him. He said all power is given to me. That's awesome. Does the devil have any power? No. He has some authority in the earth, but who has all power in their hands? So he says, I've given you authority to trample upon serpents and adders, and he names all kinds of vicious, venomous snakes, which represents that old serpent, the devil. You have authority and power over the devil. You know what? You have to walk in it. You know what? I could give you a gift, and if you don't unwrap it and you let it sit there, it will never help you. God has given you a gift. You need to unwrap it. You need to undress that gift and put it on or use it for the purpose he gave it to you. The gift is that he has completed his mission. And this is to the church. Now, let me add this. And some of y'all heard me talk about this already. The church is the only organization. I'm talking about the real church, the one that trusts that Jesus Christ alone is the truth, the way, the truth, and the life, as he said. You know, we don't add anything to what he did. Why? Because it's not necessary. When you go get an apple, what do you add to it? Nothing but my teeth. The apple is done. It's finished. So I'm just going to eat it and enjoy it. And the word even says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Psalms 34:8. So all you got to do is taste and see. Jesus has done everything we need. Now, what we need to do, that doesn't mean we sit around like a bump on a log, or certainly doesn't mean we slip back into the sin that he delivered us from. Doesn't mean that. It means he has given you everything you need to walk righteously in the world. He has equipped you, but if you don't go and take it and add it to yourself, you know what? God is a perfect gentleman, better than anyone you ever knew. He will never force his way into your life. And you'll see this. This has been going on all the time, so I better go to my text because I don't want to burn too much time. Watch this. Proverbs 1. This is Solomon, wisest man on earth. He's been given more wisdom than anybody except Jesus. Now here he says, turn you at my reproof. In other words, when God shows you something that's not right, turn. Go away from it. Behold, this is what will happen if you turn away from it. I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you. You listen to me, I'm going to come right in and fix it up, whatever it is you need. I'm going to make you understand my word. I'm going to empower you with the truth. You know, if you just listen to what I say, turn you at my reproof. In other words, stop going the wrong way. Start doing it the right way. I'm going to pour unto you my spirit, and I will make known to you my words. I'm going to give you insight. It's a holy word of God. What I've said, I'm going to make you understand it. Why? And I'll notice this, he says, because I have called and you refuse. This is people who refuse to hear his word. I have stretched out my hand and no man regard it. God wants to tell people what's right. He wants you to respond because you know it's right. If you believe it, you respond correctly. He says, but he did this to people he called. And this is how God likes to do it. He likes to tell you what's up. And then let you make the decision, I'm going to do this. But they refused. Notice that verse 24. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. They wouldn't heed my warning. But ye have set at naught all my counsel. What happens when you ignore God's word? That means you set it at naught. That means nothing, zero. You reduce what I said to nothing. All my counsels. And would none of my reproof. You don't want to hear it. A lot of hard-headed people in the world. A lot of hard-headed folk in the church. You know, it's a good thing he saves by grace and his work was complete. You know, because if it had to be that I got to toe the line and walk in every step God said, boy, I might have a problem. I'm sure I would. No question about it. Good thing he's merciful and gracious. Because there's so much he said to us that we didn't do it. But the main thing is get right with him. Trust his son. Because the work is already done. The fruition of God's mission is already taking place. It's history, we could say. And you know how we know it's history? God divided the world by Jesus. It's not 2017 because of any other so-called religious leader, or so to speak. All these folks say that their God can help you, but well, how did you not get in the mix of time like Jesus did? Jesus is in your life. I don't care what you call yourself. You can say I'm Hindu, I'm whatever you. Well, your birth certificate is stamped by the time Jesus was born, sir, ma'am, whoever you are. When you go to the grave, it's going to be a dash in the tombstone. It's going to have the year you died by when Jesus was born. So that's a valid thing. That's a credential nobody has on the planet. I believe it's like that because God wanted it like that. He wants you to know this clock is ticking seconds based on when my son came into the world. I divided the world's time by him. That's important. And so you have reason to listen to him. Yeah, I think it would be foolish not to listen to him. Nobody else has that credential. I don't care how many bean pies and papers you sell. Your person is not in the midst of time. And I don't say that to ridicule them. Wake up! God is trying to get you right. Fruition of the mission has been completed. Jesus has come. God has built the world's time system around him. And it's the only thing that can heal the world's condition. The world's condition is we don't want to hear from God. We want to do it our way. Satan, when he began, started attacking what thus said the Lord. Went to Eve, the weaker vessel. Now, the guys don't get on your pedestal. Doesn't mean that she's weaker. You know, the word weaker means that man is weak and the woman is weaker. It doesn't mean you're strong and all that in a bag of chips and she's weak. If you're weak and she is weaker. That's a comparative, that word, weaker. So he came to her because she was of a different construction. See, man was taken out of the dust of the ground. And God formed him into a man and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. He gave one law, but then he said, it's not good that the man should be alone. And so he took Adam and took from his flesh. Woman is a different creation. She came from the flesh, not from the dust. All you dusty dudes. She came from the flesh. And so she's a different thing. She's something he needed. Something he couldn't make it without it. Something different, totally different than what he was. From the flesh she was formed, from his rib, from his flesh and his bone. He said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman. For she was taken out of man. See? So she's different. You have to realize that. You know what? That's one of the biggest things. We're going to take a time and talk about this a little later on this year, if the Lord permits. We do need to distinguish some of the differences that create problems with marriage. It might even create problems with singleness for people who are single. And so we need to talk about that. But that's not today. Put that on the back burner. We're going to go back to this fruition of the mission. To heal the world's condition. So the devil comes right in. And he goes to the weaker vessel. The one that was from the flesh. And he said, God didn't really say that you can't eat of all the trees in the garden, did he? Questioning God's word. Did God really say that? Is that what he meant? Nah. He didn't mean that. He didn't really mean that like that. He just knows that when you do that, you're going to be like him. And that sounded reasonable, but it's really ridiculous. Genesis 1:26 says, let us make man what? In our image. You already are like him. He didn't do something to stop you from being like him. You like him already. He made you in his image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So you're already in his image. The devil lied and twisted the words that God said so you wouldn't believe it. And so you would violate his law. So notice what he said here. These people here in this text in Proverbs says they refuse when I call. Ye refused, he says, because I have called and ye refused. I've stretched out my hand. No man regard it. But you have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. God reasons with us to try to get us straight out. Isaiah 1:18, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as wool. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as white as snow. God says, even when you get out of whack, I want to reason with you and get you back. I want to get you back straight. I love you, and I'm going to try to protect you and keep you. Think about this. The church is in the same similar setup as Israel was to God. Israel was called the bride of Jehovah God. And the church is the bride of Christ. So he always tampers with the bride, the snake. He wants to come and get the bride twisted up and off the course. See, you can't let him do it. I'm going to tell you right now, don't let him do it. Trust in the Lord, he goes on to say later in the same writer, the Proverbs, with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding. Don't worry about do I understand it, but in all your ways acknowledge him. He will direct your path. He's going to show you how to do it. He'll become a lamp to your feet and a light to your path if you just listen. Now notice what he says here. This is people who have heard from God, but we're not really taking the advice. We're not going to do it. We don't see it as what's right and what's law, what we must do. He says here, verse number 25, you have said it not all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as a desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall ye call upon me. You're going to wait till you get in a terrible mess. Ask Jonah how he felt. It was a storm at sea. And he told him, throw me overboard. That's the only thing going to give you some peace. And they threw him over, and the sea went. And a great fish came right up and swallowed him up. I want to talk about a whirlwind and some coming up on you because you didn't do what I said. It's amazing. And then what happened? God had mercy. Jonah was in the fish for 3 days and nights. The fish went around the ocean, came back up right next to Nineveh, and vomited him up on the beach. And he had prayed the whole time, Lord, have mercy on me. And God had mercy on him. So it was like he was risen from the dead. Everybody counted Jonah. Oh, boy, you gone now, buddy. After that, well, you gone, buddy. We're going to have your funeral, even though you ain't here. We ain't got no body. But we know you ain't no good no more. You out of here. See? But he came up. Imagine Jonah getting spit up on the beach. The whale comes up. Oh, there was a whale on the beach the other day out somewhere. I saw on the news. But now this time, this whale opens up and big blob of stuff comes out. They say, oh, he must be sick. Then they look and the stuff starts to wiggle around. And a man all bleached with whale stuff gets up. And, oh, my God, look at that thing coming up out of there. And he starts to walk toward the city and everybody freaked, putting it in modern language. What kind of a deal is this? Oh, my God. Scared the daylights out of him. He had a short message. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. They said, oh, my goodness, everybody went, that word spread all over Nineveh. Everybody went and began to repent and cover themselves with sackcloth. And they draped the animals with sackcloth. And the king got off his throne and draped himself with sackcloth. That's repentance. Because he was such a strange-looking, waterlogged old creature coming up there walking, talking about yet 40 days. And Nineveh shall be overthrown. So God's word is important. It's terribly important to me and you. And if we just believe, we don't have to go through, we can save ourselves a lot of anxiety. So the writer to the Proverbs, of the Proverbs here says, don't look for God, because if you haven't heard him, then why should he rush to your side if you need him? Now, this is people who don't hear his word. For they hated knowledge, verse 29, and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof, therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way? You want your way? Go ahead. And be filled with your own devices. Wow, that's something else. That has a special application in our time. We call cell phones and pads and all that our devices. And sometimes we get stuck on them. God said, I'll turn you over to your devices. Watch out for that. That's a modern interpretation. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them. When you turn away, that's to your destruction if you don't allow me to heal your condition. The prosperity of fools shall destroy them. Sometimes it looks like people disobeying God are getting ahead. Lord, look at them. They're slinging drugs, but they're riding in a Cadillac. They got gold around their neck. How long will it last? Not long. And even if it lasted you all your life, the tomb comes quicker than you expect. So it's really not worth it because you're going to face the Lord in the day of judgment. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. You want to have a fearless life? Trust God. Walk with God. Walk with him by faith, not by sight. Jesus prayed for this because he had finished his part. He had brought to fruition what God required. And so it was complete. The gospel was complete. Jesus got out of the grave, commissioned the church. Now I'm back to that, because this is our part. God says, I'm done. The fruit is already there. You can pluck it and eat it right now. It's ripe. But what am I doing? I'm sending you out. Go you into all the nations and teach. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's the business and the duty of the church, to teach the gospel and baptize. Baptism is an outward show of an inward change. You've been changed on the inside, so you want to profess to the church who has authority. You know what the church, and I mentioned this in a message or two before in case you weren't here, or maybe you were, the church is the only organism on earth with authority to share the good news of God, that he has given his son, the mission has come to fruition. Jesus Christ has already set up everything that you need. All you need to do is trust him and believe him. Walk by faith, not by sight. It may not look like we're going the right way, but trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. So Jesus prayed this high priestly prayer. He says, sanctify them. He's asking God the Father, because he knows that the condition of the world renders us sinful. The sin in our lives touches us in the core of our souls. It's very difficult to deal with. Got a lot of folk walking around with a lot of Christianese. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you. What about the burning sin issues deep-seated in your life? We don't want to confront that. We put on a facade and walk around and act like we're all that in a bag of chips. But the stain of sin is deep and it's to the core of the soul. So Jesus prays, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You know what he told some disciples who believed on him, even some Pharisees? He said, if you continue in my word, then, that means then and only then, are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So some of that stuff is not coming out till we get the word in, we meditate on it, we pray on it, we confess the faults and the sins to God, and God will set you free. People say set, but he's going to make you free. You need to be made free. There's stuff in there, you can't fix it. God will fix it, though. If you trust him, turn it over to him. Trust him. He can fix it. Don't care how twisted it is. He made it. He can fix it. You know, the people who work on stuff like cars, you can bring them a big pile of parts and say, there it is. If you know how to make a car, you can put it together and it will run. See, so it's like that. God knows you right well because he made you. And any problem you got or something that's out of order, he can fix it. So Jesus prays, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And he says, as thou hast sent me into the world, he came to do the completion or the fruition of the mission. Even so have I also sent them. That's you and me, brothers and sisters, into the world. He said, I came, I did my part, I satisfied you. Now I'm sending them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself. I set myself apart that they also might be sanctified through the truth. In other words, I'm set there as the priest, the only mediator between God and men. Totally trustworthy, totally satisfying to the Father, and I should be totally satisfying to you if you believe me. All you do is believe him, keep believing him, keep trusting his word. Keep listening to the word, feed on the word. Don't let the devil tell you, that word really isn't for you. That picnic is more important. That car show is more important. That golf tournament is more important. He wants to get you anywhere but in the church. And you need to run to the church. That's what I like to do. And when stuff is raggedy, and believe me, it gets raggedy, I want to run to the church and hear the word. You need to, because you got to understand how deep the problem is. It's a serious problem, but you got to stay in the word, and that way it'll get you fixed up. Verse 20, neither pray I for these alone, not only these first little group of 12, but also for them that shall believe on me through their word. Wow, notice Jesus said, believe on me. He didn't say, believe on you, skip me and go to you. No, they need to believe on me, Jesus said. Through their word, we're preaching, you need to believe in Jesus. So don't let the Hebrew Israelites or whoever XYZites tell you we're going to go to Jehovah. No, you're not. Without Jesus, you can't do a thing. You're dead in your trespasses and sin. Jesus brought to fruition what thus saith the Lord. You cannot approach the Father without his covering. You don't have an audience with God without Jesus. So we need to be point blank, black and white, clear. They say, oh, you need to be politically correct. You were a little harsh with that one. Yes, I am. Because Jesus said that the world will believe on me through their word. See that verse 20? You ought to make a note there. Put that in highlights. He says that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, and that they also might be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Now, that's the whole mission of the church in a nutshell. All people on the planet Earth suffer from the very same spiritual condition, which is being affected with the curse of sin, whose wages are death. Therefore, there is no one anywhere who can correct the problem by any mere human means. A psychologist might help you with a couple of things, but he can't deal with the core of your soul. Only God can. All these different folks have different things they want to offer you. The idol can't fix it. Jesus can. Because in Dr. Field, you don't have a chance. Me not go on down that road, but y'all know where I'm going. Because the problem is so deeply seated in human nature that the only cure for this condition must be supplied by God Almighty, which is his good pleasure to do so, but not by force. He's not going to force his way into your life. He wants you to open the door. Say, Lord, come in, fill me, help me. I need it. So this is going to make your prayer life very important, very deep. It is the fact that all human beings are free to believe whatever they choose that makes the mission of the church the most crucial mission of all time, because God chose the church. He has chosen the church as the sole agency of getting his message of free salvation out to the entire world. Did that make you feel special? And he has supplied his son, Jesus Christ, who alone satisfies him. No one else or nothing else satisfies God but Jesus, as the only acceptable sacrifice by which anyone who hears the message of his grace, which is the gospel, we call that message the gospel, and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus alone as full payment for all their sins, can and will be healed from the curse of sin. That's what salvation is, which if this message is rejected, it ends in voluntary destruction by each individual's personal choice. You can choose not to trust God after we tell you the good news. We don't recommend you do that. We command, the gospel is a command, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. It's not a kind of a cursory little silent kind of a deal. It's a command. You've been commanded to go out and preach. Stand up, raise up your voice. Tell them the gospel. Let the chips fly where they may. If they receive you, tell them some more. Invite them to the church to be baptized. They reject you, shake the dust off your feet and get going. That's not your job. They have a battle and their problem is not with you. The problem is with God. They have a problem with God. We reject your counsel. And when you preach it, the Holy Spirit will be there with you. That's what he meant when he said, lo, I am with you always. Now they translated always, and I'm going to just take one more second and I'm almost done. Always means all the days. That's what it really literally means. Lo, I am with you all the days. How many days is that, Lord? All the days, however many there are. So that means every second of every day that you are alive, the Holy Ghost is with you whenever you share the message. You don't have to worry about him not being with you. The entire Bible is the story of God's love and grace toward the children of Adam, who God loved from the beginning and proved it by creating him in his own image. And when the fullness of time had come, God himself brought into fruition his own son, Jesus, to illustrate to all people of all time the magnitude of his love by taking the curse of sin of all of humanity and placing it upon Jesus, who all by himself paid the sin bill in full for everyone who trusts in him alone. And it is the highest privilege and mission of the church to notify the world of the fruition of the healing solution for their condition. Amen. There's one solution for every problem. They say, well, that's too simple, Pastor. It is simple. But it is the gospel of your salvation. Yeah. God wanted it to be simple. He wants London to be able to hear that and say, I trust Jesus. That's a little good. They don't hear my business. He wants every person to be healed and one complicated.
They say it's so simple, a little kid can hear it and believe it. Or somebody old as Abraham, 75, can trust God and begin to walk with him by faith. Whoever believes in him will not perish. That's his prize. The mission is complete already. God has centered the world around the completion of the mission when Jesus came into the world. See? And if you don't have salvation, you ought to. I command you today in the name of Jesus. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and he promises you shall be saved. But just as surely as the sun rose up this morning, you've been seeing it. You know what? I've been seeing it rise for 60 years. And the moon has been perfect every night. So I think God can keep his word. I'm in awe. The heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament shows his handiwork. Look around. This stuff is not haphazard. These evolutionists, how did all that get in order like that? Where it took billions of years. That makes it more complicated. And the reason you can't prove evolution is because it didn't happen. It did not happen. There's no proof of stuff that didn't happen. Got to. So we invite you, if you're here today and you've never trusted Christ, it's that simple. You might say, well, that's too simple. Just believe Jesus and believe that God raised him from the dead, and I'll be saying, yes. 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 And you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. You'll move right in immediately. He will stay with you always. Ephesians 4:30 says you'll be sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That's the work God does. Until the day of redemption. When is that? That's when you cash in your chips. Y'all don't know about no Eagles fans. We used to say it in the you take them and you redeem them. The Eagles fans. $2.50 a book. Hey. So one day you got to cash in your chips. You see what I'm saying? Y'all might understand that from another. But if you're here today and you want to be saved, I'm going to ask everybody to stand. Salvation is a very simple, basic thing that you have to do. It's the most important thing you have to do. Believe God that he loves you and he gave his son. And he has completed everything you need so he can declare you perfect. Let's pray. Lord God, we bless you. We praise you. Thank you for the fruition of the mission. And Lord God, we ask you to heal our condition, Lord God. Whatever it is in us that's not like you, Father, we ask you to cover it with the blood of Jesus. Help us to understand that he lives to make intercession for us and is at your right hand, even right now. Make an intercession, Lord, for us. That means he prays on our behalf. There's stuff we don't know, Lord. We don't even know what to ask or how to pray as we should. But we thank you for the Holy Spirit because he knows all things, even the deep things of God. And you have given him to dwell in us and to lead us and to guide and direct our steps. And so, Father, fill anyone in the room who's trusting Jesus today. Lord, anybody hearing this message by any other means, oh God, online, wherever they may hear it, bless them with salvation today. Father God, let their condition be healed by the fruition of the mission that Jesus has completed. And Father, we bless you, we give you praise. We ask this in the perfect, matchless name of Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. It's in his name we pray, and the whole church say it together. Amen. Amen. Give God the best praise. Hallelujah. And as you stand, we want to give you the opportunity, as we always do, if you'd like to be a member of St. Timothy, give you that opportunity right now. To come forward and let us know. Amen. We thank God for you. And we don't want you to leave and say, oh, they didn't even ask me. I wanted to be a part of the church. But we're looking to extend our workers here. We need workers to go into the vineyard.
Yes, we do.
Amen. If you want to do that, we ask you to come right now at this time. And as I said, we roll out the red carpet to you. You see all the folk on TV walking the red carpet and the flash bulbs and going all off. Well, God wants to flash some love to you. Amen. Coming up here. So that you can be a part of the body. Amen. Amen. We've done as God commands.
There are none, but yet there is room. Amen. We hope you got a good word from the message today. Amen.